Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They always have a sort of a ramp-up plan that we try to abide by and follow, and those guys are on that path, but it was good to see him back out there.
That was John Harbaugh yesterday as TJ Tampa finally got out on the practice field and Rashad Bateman returned to the practice field, much more active today with the practices ending around 4 o'clock and us being done at 5:30. Don't have time to turn around any audio now because they're talking right now. But this was Harbs yesterday talking about Tampa and Bateman coming back. And I've been waiting to see TJ Tampa for a while. I had the hernia surgery, and now he's back on the field.
Yeah, I'm very interested, and I'm not expecting him to play in the preseason game this weekend, but maybe he's got a chance for next week in Green Bay, and he obviously will take part in the joint practices in Green Bay against the Packers. But TJ Tampa was one of those finds that a lot of draft pundits thought that the Ravens possibly got a steal there in the fourth round where they thought maybe he would be a day two pick. And it just gives this Ravens secondary even more depth.
And Rashad Bateman, who fell on a football, last week, now back on the practice field, was there quickly yesterday. But today it seemed he was more involved in 11-on-11 stuff.
They need him to stay healthy. Yeah. They need him to stay healthy and participate in as many of these practices leading up to week one as possible because he's already missed quite a few already. We know his spotty track record in terms of practicing over his first few years of his career, and they're going to need him. And Bobby D, it's something we'll get into more tomorrow, he was basically saying yesterday that Bateman has the talent.
Yeah.
It's not a question of talent at this time. It's availability, and it's getting on the same page with Lamar Jackson. If there's a knock on Lamar Jackson's game, it's the deep ball accuracy, which we gave out yesterday. And a big reason for that has been Lamar throwing deep to Rashad Bateman, it's even worse than the rest of the guys. So they got to find a way to get on the same page this year.
More from Harbs yesterday discusses what our Darius Washington means to the defense.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Darius and I had a conversation today in my office, and it was a good one. It wasn't called to the principal's office. It was just to kind of talk about his vision for the season and what he thought he could accomplish. And he's playing at a high level. You saw it today. He's playing both safety positions. He's playing the nickel. And he could play the corner outside if he had to. He got to get you out of game, and he could go in a dime if he had to. He knows the defense that well. His style is pretty much patented. That's his style, the way he plays. And I think it's a style worthy of emulating. So very glad he's on our team.
John Harbaugh glowing about our Darius Washington. It's a guy that they like. Remember, his issue is something he can't control. It's his height.
Yeah, which causes the injuries. And he played a ton of snaps week one and week two. He even started that game week two against the Bengals last year on that historic defense where if he can stay healthy, he's another one of those chess pieces for Zach Orr. And the fact that he can play safety, you can slot him inside at nickel. It's just he's got to stay healthy. But if he does, I think he can have a role for them.
He also he gave up a touchdown to, I think it was Chase. It might have been Higgins.
I think it was Higgins. Higgins had two touchdowns that game.
It was Higgins. And it was purely because Higgins is a foot taller than him. Like, he had good coverage, just couldn't get to him. More from Harbs yesterday. Kyle Van Noy back for his second season. And Harbs talks about Van Noy and his leadership.
Kyle has definitely, I think he's enjoyed being here from the beginning. I mean, you know, you come in, once the season's begun, and you're just kind of trying to play catch up with the defensive scheme, but also with the relationships. Now he's one of the guys. Everybody knows him, respects him. He's definitely a leader. Knows the defense very well and practicing hard every day. So it should be a plus for us.
Yeah, he didn't get into what after week four and still had 9 sacks. And now we heard from him earlier. He can hit the ground running. He knows everybody. He's comfortable and he knows all the plays.
With the Kyle Van Noy, something that we're going to continue to monitor throughout the season is how many plays is he playing? I just don't want to see something that happened with Calais Campbell a few years back where still had the ability, but a guy on the wrong side of 30 and playing way more snaps than he should, and then he ended up wearing down as the year goes on. And that's why it's so important for, A, especially Adafe Owe to step up, but B, I mean, who are those other guys? Is it going to be an Adiza Isaac as a rookie? Is it going to be a Tavius Robinson, who Bobby DePaul is really high on? They need some of these young guys to step up to kind of take some of the load off Van Noy.
More from John Harbaugh speaking yesterday after practice. Ravens just got off the practice field today. Chuck Smith, we've talked a lot about Chuck Smith. He spoke to the media yesterday. Well, Harbs talks about Chuck Smith's value.
You know, it's kind of a unique way to do it. And Chuck's an all-around football coach. You know, he coaches every part of the position. He was a pass rusher as a player, one of the all-time great pass rushers, and then kind of took that on as an obsession almost, I would say. And he's become one of the foremost pass rushing coach in the business. I feel that way about him. So to have him here with our guys, I mean, that speaks a lot to what we're, you know, I think the way the guys are building into his style and what he teaches, and I know they love it. You know, they love learning from him. So let's see where it takes us. It was good last year.
It was good last year. Really they led good. The NFL in sacks a year ago, and Chuck Smith, obviously a tactician as a pass rush specialist, and we saw what Clowney having a bounce back year, Manoy we mentioned, and even guys like Owe, who didn't have the numbers, but the metrics said, man, this guy got to the quarterback.
And guys inside, like a Justin Matabike having a breakthrough year. And it was a big topic of conversation last year, just what Chuck Smith meant to, you know, adding to this staff that John Harbaugh had brought him in. Because a lot of Ravens players were already using him in his pass rush camp, if you will. But I think it's huge. All of those guys gush when they talk about Chuck Smith. And all of those, you know, Clowney and Van Noy having career years when they were both over 30, I think a big reason for that is Chuck Smith.
Big topic of conversation on this show and yesterday was Josh Johnson, the backup quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. And Harbs tells us why he has confidence in Josh Johnson.
I mean, Josh Johnson's a vet. He's a pro. When he's played in games, he's played good football in games. Hadn't been a lot, but he's played good football in games. He's going to run our offense well. We love Josh.
They love Josh. We know they love Josh. He's a pro. He's a vet.
Would you expect anything different? I mean,
he's a vet and a pro.
He's been with Jim Harbaugh. He's with Jack Harbaugh.
Jack
right?
was a coach on Jim's staff.
It's crazy. So this is a guy that obviously the Harbaugh family thinks highly of. And this is Josh Johnson's second term with this team. Remember, he was with him in 2021, left in 22, and then back last year, where they're huge Josh Johnson fans. Bobby DePaul, he's big on Josh Johnson. He thinks that a Taylor Heinicke
signed him in the UFL.
Yeah, he thinks that a Taylor Heinicke would be an upgrade, and I get what Bobby DePaul was trying to tell us yesterday and the fact that when you're paying Lamar Jackson $50-plus million, you're going to have to kind of cheap out in some spots. But this backup quarterback position has predated a Lamar Jackson big deal, predated a Joe Flacco big deal.
Do you ever wonder why we call John Harbaugh Harbs, but nobody calls Jim Harbaugh Harbs?
Does anyone call Jack Harbs?
Nobody calls. John's the only Harbs, but they're all Harbaugh's.
Know. That is weird.
Like, Jim's Harbs, been around forever.
Harbs is a great nickname.
I like it.
I mean, it's a
Brandon Hyde kind of nickname.
Oh, it is.
If John Harbaugh played for the Orioles, he'd be Harbs.
Easily.
Harbs.
Harbsy, maybe?
Yeah, right. Harbsy.
Harbsy.
Yeah, that's definitely. You want to hear one more from Harbs?
Why not?
One more from Harbs. Let's go with Cut 11. Is the team living up to the vision he had at the outset of camp?
I would say very well. You know, and I think the vision what you become as a football team is a product of the people who do it and what they do, you know, and what happens every day and the things that challenges that you have and the obstacles you have to overcome and how you approach those things. And if you're willing to keep fighting and keep getting back up and never quit, then, you know, it's not, the fight's not over until you say it is, no matter what happens. And that's, you know, it's a big statement, but camp's a little bit like that. You know, you got to keep coming back every day and come out and grind and try to become better, become a better player and a better team every day. And I think our guys are doing that. And that's really the task at hand right now.
I have to admit, I was a little distracted during that cut from Harv's because an incredibly pungent weed smell overtook us here at Pickles.
And yeah.
It's
loud.
Yes.
No music playing, but it's loud, Ken.
Yeah, that kind of took me over. It's welcome back weed smell. It's everywhere.
He was talking about the training camp?
He's talking about the vision and has it lived up to the vision. And
there's a lot of coach speak.
Yeah, he said, I think what he was trying to say is absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't hear any
stacking. But I have the urge to go to White Castle at this
point. Yeah, I didn't hear any stacking.
He did not stack. He did not stack.
I would have expected that out of John Harbaugh this part of camp. But, yeah, if you were listening between 2 and 6 yesterday, I think you felt pretty good about the Ravens' outlook.
Yes.
Because Bobby DePaul is gushing about this Ravens team. Really not that many question marks, according to Bobby.
He also eviscerated the Steelers.
We will get into that later in the week.
Yes.
Hey. Also used a term that – maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe.
But scout speak.
Yeah. You know.
It's in the parlance of that's how scouts talk.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Coming up next, we get back to the Orioles. Jacob Calvin-Meyer is going to join us at 4:30, but coming up next, Orioles postseason. Is Craig Kimbrell have a role in this bullpen come the playoffs? We discuss next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, he's going to be right in the thick of things. You know, this is one of the best ever to do it. You know, he's at an age and an experience level in his career where, you know, he's not 24 years old anymore, but he's still one of the leaders in saves in all of baseball. He's gone an extended run of excellence this season. He's got another one right around the corner. You know, players have ups and downs throughout the year, and he's could turn the corner starting today. So he's our closer.
That's Mike Elias, general manager of the Orioles, talking on, I think, Saturday about Craig Kimbrell, and he says he's got a run of excellence. And you made a good point, Bone, earlier. You said it's been a tale of three seasons for Kimbrell. Started out really slow, and then he did go on that brilliant run. But since July 14th, his ERA is over 8. And when he came into the game on Sunday, tie game in the 8th inning, he immediately walks the leadoff man. He does a horrible job of holding runners, so any walk is a double. They then had a double steal later in the inning at 2nd and 3rd. They get the winning run because he can't hold runners in large part, and then a flyout. And I just wonder if Coulomb and Webb come back and are ready for the playoffs, is there a place for Craig Kimbrell at the end come the postseason?
I mean, if those guys come back and they get a couple weeks to get tuned up, I mean, it's a serious discussion if things do not get better. Now, obviously, there's still time. There's over 40 games to go. Maybe he goes on another run and it's a tale of four seasons at that point, Ken. But right now, it's ugly. His last 9 games, 8 2/3 innings. He's given up 9 hits, 11 walks in that span, 11 walks. 8 earned runs. Sunday's game, your offense only scored 1 run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole separate conversation.
That's a different kettle of fish.
That is a different kettle of fish. But you're going to have games in October where it's going to be tied. It's going to be close. It's going to be late situations, high leverage situations. And right now, Craig Kimbrell, you cannot use him in those situations because more often than not, especially in this stretch, he's just not being competitive. A lot of those pitches weren't competitive. The Morrell, the third batter that inning, he walked him on 4 pitches and they really weren't all that close. And it's night and day in terms of if guys are on or if the bases are empty. 471 OPS against him with no one on. Great. Fantastic. 760 OPS when anyone's on. 817 OPS with runners in scoring position. And his inability to close to hold runners,
yeah.
That's a significant issue. Oh, and by the way, the Nats are in town, and they have the second most stolen bases in baseball.
Well, they ran all over the Orioles in that two-game series in Washington, if memory serves.
Yep.
And it's a different conversation, maybe something we should get into tomorrow, and that is Corbin Burnes and Craig Kimbrel and just the complete lack of willingness to hold runners, and it becomes a track meet when runners get on. You add that with Adley Rutschman not being able to throw anybody out. It's a recipe for disaster, but the Kimbrel part of it, like, I get what Elias is saying, and he's got a shot to be in the Hall of Fame one day because of his career, but everybody's athletic mortality hits at some point. Nobody plays forever. Like, he's not the guy he used to be, and he has to be so good with his control. He's got to have that, you know, when he gets two strikes, it's that rising fastball that makes you chase. And if he's not pinpoint with the control, it's not a pitch that anybody even takes a half swing at.
The other issue is the fact that he doesn't get any ground balls.
No.
At all. I mean, bottom fourth percentile in ground ball rate, and he's getting barreled up. The walk percentage, I mean, that's bottom three percentile, chase percentage, bottom first percentile in baseball. I mean, these numbers are extremely troubling, and you almost know how a Craig Kimbrel outing is going to go after the first batter.
Yes.
If that guy gets on, buckle up.
Yeah.
If he,
well, because it's the leadoff double.
Exactly. Exactly. And if it's a one-run game, I mean, gosh, how deep into the season before he got a one-run save? I mean, that took a while.
Yeah. I hope there's that lockdown period around the corner. But we were shocked Brian Baker was on the playoff roster a year ago, and he got put in a game and he immediately gave up a grand slam. But, like, I don't know how, if you're looking yourself in the mirror, you're Brandon Hyde, you're Mike Elias, the way he's going right now, how do you trust him in a playoff game in any kind of leverage situation?
This sort of tells you everything you need to know. And I know this sounds kind of crazy on the surface, but I'm just saying in terms of this recent run. Who do you trust more, Craig Kimbrel or Birch Smith?
I trust Birch Smith.
I know that's insane.
And he just gave him a home run to call up Caballero.
I know, but I'm saying it just kind of tells you where we're at with Kimbrel right now. I mean, he's walking a ton of guys, and just he continues to get barreled up.
Yeah, it's not good, and I'm curious to see how this goes. And I hope Mike Elias is right that another good stretch is around the corner, but as of yet, I'm not seeing it. Coming up next, we'll talk some more Orioles. Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. We'll get his thoughts on Craig Kimbrel and this team as they start a two-game set with the Nationals tonight. Remember, Baltimore baseball tonight, T-Bone and Ryan Ripken at 5:30 here on The Fan. Orioles enter tonight's play a half game up on the Yankees for first place in the AL East. Nobody is running away with any division in baseball. Perfect time to talk to our friend Jacob Calvin-Meyer, who covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. And Jacob, thank you as always for joining us. So play a little hypothetical game with us, if you will. Let's assume that both Jacob Webb and Danny Coulomb are healthy for the postseason. Could you see a scenario where Craig Kimbrel is not on the playoff roster? Wow, I stumped him. Or did we go off the air?
I think we're still on.
We
lost him.
I stumped him.
He couldn't even. Wow.
Well, we will effort to get Jacob back.
Mind was blown from that.
I was playing 3D chess there, is what I was doing.
$13 million, not on the playoff roster.
Most guys play checkers.
Yeah.
And I was doing a little 3D chess there. And, you know.
It takes a crazy question to stump Jacob Calvin-Meyer.
Yes.
That much I know.
I think that like he literally said, I'm not doing this interview.
Yeah, he hung up. Yeah. I'm sick of this.
I know. When I go into the dining room later in the press box, I'm probably going to get yelled at. Yeah. Like, what kind of nonsense is that?
Really blindsided me with that one,
Ken. Like, why
show a little
see
class.
That
show a little professionalism.
I was like a Yankee pitcher against an Oriole hitter, like throwing like a little bit of chin music there. But oh, we're efforting to get Jacob back. We're live at Pickles across the street from Memorial Park at Camden Yards, where the Orioles start that two-game series against the Nats and then four against the Red Sox at home. We will be at Pickles all week long.
All week long, Ken.
So,
excited about that.
Yes. Food's really good here.
We got the lineup if you want to.
Yeah, you want to vamp.
We got Colton Cowser leading off.
Got Jacob.
Okay,
Jacob, are you there? Jacob,
there we go. I hear him.
Jacob, are you there?
My cell service is terrible. I don't know what's going on.
Are you on Cricket?
Yeah.
Hopefully they're not a sponsor.
are you on Cricket? Man. Well. Let's just say, could you see a scenario where Craig Kimbrell is not on the playoff roster? Wow. Crappy self.
Hey, you guys are starting me.
And no softballs.
Yeah.
Jason's not here, so we got to give you fastballs.
We got to pick it up.
So the thing with Kimbrell, he's not going to be on the playoff roster. As of right now, I would expect him to be on the playoff roster. I don't really see a credible scenario where he's not. Listen, at the end of the day, the general manager signed Kimbrel for $13 million in the offseason, and when you make a trade, you got to lie in it. And this is how it goes with Kimbrel. There's ups and downs, and the downs are really, really low, and the ups it can be really high. And I think they're just hoping that they can get him out of this rut, but this most recent rut has been pretty tough.
Jacob, you wrote in the Sun yesterday just about this historic parity, maybe mediocrity, in MLB this year. And if the Orioles can somehow thread this needle in terms of the injuries and these guys come back, despite the warts and the flaws that we know about this roster, could you still see them making a deep run in October?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's funny, I've come on, I think, this program and others on 105.7 and have discussed the fact that teams that have as many injuries as the Orioles have suffered this year, those teams don't typically win the World Series. It's difficult to lose the best closers in baseball, a Cy Young contender in Kyle Bradish, an All-Star in Jordan Westberg, John Means, Tyler Wells, you know, the list goes on and on. It's tough to lose all of those guys and then still make a run. And that's kind of been my stance for most of the past few months, especially after Bradish went down. And then I started to look at things the other day, and I was like, wow, there are no great teams in baseball. The Dodgers have a ton of injuries. We don't even need to get into the Yankees. We don't have enough time to talk about those guys, what's going on up there. And the Guardians are playing way above their base runs record. They've had a lot of luck so far this season. Thread the needle is the perfect phrase in that if the Orioles get here, the injury luck has been really bad. If they can get if they can turn that around and they can get Grayson, Westberg, and Coulomb back in mid to late September, I think they would have just as good of a chance to win a World Series as any other team in baseball. But that's a big if.
Yeah, it's a very big if. We're talking to Jacob Calvin-Meyer. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. I feel like we've been down this road before, but Coby Mayo yet to have a major league hit. He's not in the lineup tonight, which I said earlier makes sense because Trevor Rogers is a ground ball pitcher, and we saw what that looked like the last time he pitched. But are you starting to be concerned that maybe we see him get optioned back to Norfolk?
Yeah, listen, anytime a player starts this rough and they isn't exactly there, you do have to start thinking about what's best for the player and what's best for the team. I think right now, the way I view it is clearly different than the way the team views it, which is the way I view it is either play the kid all the time, maybe not every day, but most days, or send him down. Because having him on the bench is virtually useless for you because you can't really pinch hit him other than for the DH, because you don't want to put him anywhere because they're not comfortable with him playing third base late in games. And so it's like, okay, he's on your bench and you have this right-handed bat that in theory you're comfortable with pinch hitting for, I don't know, let's say Colton Cowser with the bases loaded, just to pull up a random example. And then then you're concerned about his then you're concerned about his defense. And so I think this start that he's had is not just like a slow start. I mean, this is almost historically bad. I believe only two or three other players in MLB history have gone hitless in their first six games with 10 strikeouts. This is more than a rough start. However, the numbers in AAA speak for themselves. If you give this kid more at-bats, he's going to start hitting at some point. But the question remains, is this more similar to Jackson Holliday and Couser, where there's a massive flaw in their swing where they need to go down and get it fixed before they come back up? Or is this more similar to Adley and Gunnar, where you just have to work through it? The challenge with Mayo is that he doesn't have the defense of any of those players that I just named.
Speaking of the defense, Jacob, I know it's a small sample size, but is his future at third base, or maybe it's possibly at first base?
I don't think anybody knows. I'm not expert enough in third base defense to answer the question simply based off of the few games he's played and the ground ball work I see him do at third base. However, I will say he does not have the throwing accuracy that you would expect from a big leaguer playing on the left side of the infield. And so that's a work in progress. He's still a really young player. I will say, I think he's a good athlete. It's just tough to see at third base when he's so big. When he was drafted, you guys might remember, a lot of people had him projected to be a right fielder in the future because his arm strength is one of his better tools, and the defensive ability at third base was a question. And it's been 4 years. He's barely played any outfield in terms of practicing. He didn't do any during spring training. And so it seems like if they wanted him to be in right field in the future, they would have done that by now. But at the same time, it does seem like the defense at third and first remain massive question marks. I mean, we've seen Ryan Mountcastle turn into a pretty solid defensive first baseman, not anything special, but like a pretty solid defensive first baseman. And Ryan Mountcastle seems to be a much better defender than Cody Bayo is at this point. And so if I had to answer, I would say right field. And that's me saying I've never seen him play outfield at all. But I do think that's what makes the most sense when you look at this team, and that in 2 years, they're not going to have Santander. They're not going to have Mullins. And at first base, you probably want Basayo there playing at least some of that time. So I think that's a big question with Mayo. The answer to this might just be he's the DH.
Jacob, we know that the Mike Elias and the Orioles farm system are on a historic run in terms of just prospects in the top 100, top 25, where, you know, that's going to wear off over the next year or so, where their farm system rankings are going to take a hit. But you recently did a piece on Brandon Young, who Mike Elias referenced along with Cade Povich, Cole Irvin, as guys that maybe could start games for the Orioles down the stretch if more injuries happen. For fans unaware of Brandon Young, what could you tell them?
Yeah, you ever had that moment where you're watching like a TV show or a movie and you're like waiting for the person to say the line, and then you're like, he said it. That's what I felt like with Brandon Young the other day, because I'm not the only one. I mean, people at Baseball America, John Mioli at the Baltimore Banner, Eric Longenhagen, who I think is the best prospect ranker in baseball over at Fangraphs, they've all been talking about Brandon Young for months now. But I've been, you know, mentioning him in minor league reports for the Sun for several months now, just because of how the eye-popping numbers that he's been putting up this season. Just the quick TLDR about Brandon Young. He was an undrafted free agent in 2020 because of that was a five-round draft because of COVID. He's 6'6". He's got a fastball that was in the low 90s a few years ago, and then he dealt with injuries for 2 years and barely pitched. And then now he came back and he's healthy, and now his fastball is more like mid-90s. He's gained like two ticks on his fastball. He's got a really big looping curveball, like a kind of an old-school mid-70s curveball, which hitters don't really see much nowadays, which kind of differentiates him. And then he's got a pretty good changeup that he actually throws to both sides of the plate. And now he's in AAA and having a lot of success there. And so he's 25, almost about to be 26 years old. He does seem like an arm that could be called up sooner rather than later, especially if the injury bug keeps hurting this team.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. I don't know who you talked to, but the phone got a lot better as the interview went. So we appreciate your help there and always appreciate your time.
Phone got better. The answers were just as bad. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, coming up next, Orioles and Nats, game one of a two-game set. We've got the lineup and some thoughts as the Orioles and Nats play at 6:30. Baltimore baseball tonight coming up live here from Pickles at 5:30. That's the Bone and Ryan Ripken here on The Fan. Orioles and Nationals tonight at 6:30. Colton Cowser leading off in left field. Anthony Santander's in right field batting second. Gunnar Henderson's at shortstop batting third. Ryan O'Hearn, your DH, batting cleanup. Adley Rutschman batting fifth at catcher. Ryan Mountcastle's batting sixth at first base. Cedric Mullins in center field batting seventh. Jackson Holliday batting eighth at second base. And Ramon Urias is your third baseman batting ninth behind Travis Rogers.
I'm going to ask you the question that you just asked Jacob Calvin-Meyer. Are you concerned that Coby Mayo is going to get sent back down?
I'm more concerned now than when I asked the question because I didn't realize just how bad Mayo was historically. Like, this is not so 0 for, what, 15, 6 games, 10 strikeouts. He doesn't look like he's close to getting good contact on anything. I didn't understand pinch hitting him in the Blue Jays game, and then he struck out. And he strikes out a lot. Watching that game Sunday, his first two at-bats, both four-pitch strikeouts, one swinging, one looking.
I think Jacob hit it on the head where it's you want this guy playing. He absolutely should have been called up. I am not, Monday morning quarterbacking that. His numbers in AAA speak for themselves, like Jacob said, but right now, him not playing that often, something's got to give at some point.
The lack of hitting combined with just how bad he is defensively, which I had no idea because I really hadn't seen him. But, man, like, it's not good. It's not smooth, Bone. It's not smooth over there.
Well, and that was Trevor Rogers, his first start?
Second start
in Toronto where Coby Mayo had the one official error. He had
two.
One of them were taken away.
Which should have been a double play.
Exactly. And that's what harms your pitcher who, is just coming off a rough debut where Trevor Rogers, coincidentally enough, back on the bump tonight against the Nats. And just looking at some of their numbers, and we know that the Nats, much like the Rays, much like the Blue Jays, who they play before them, they were sellers at the deadline. Hunter Harvey, Jesse Winker, Layton Thomas, Dylan Floro. They're all gone. And you look at their offense, not much pop at all. They're dead last in home runs, 23rd in OPS, 19th in walks. But something to keep an eye on, and you mentioned this earlier, they're going to be running.
Yep.
They get on the base paths, the Nats will be taking off. They're second in baseball in stolen bases, just four stolen bases behind the Reds for the lead.
They also have two young guys that look like they're going to be studs, C.J. Abrams, who was an all-star, and James Wood, who they brought up a few weeks ago. Both guys look like they're going to be something special. But, yeah, there's not a whole lot of there with the Nats. I'm kind of surprised Kyle Finnegan is still there, their closer. Like you didn't trade him for something at the deadline. It's not a great baseball team.
No, bullpen 20th in reliever ERA, 23rd in reliever whip, 25th in reliever strikeouts, and then starters 22nd in ERA, 24th in starter whip. And right now they're facing Jake Irving, and he's had a rough August thus far. Two outings, he's gone 10 and two-thirds. He's given up 9 earned runs, and you look at his baseball savant, doesn't walk a ton of people. That's kind of the plus thing with Jake Irving. He's got a solid ERA. Really does.
Did he pitch well against the Orioles in Washington? Am I imagining that?
Let's see.
I feel like he pitched in one of those two games, but maybe I'm just
I do not see that.
Okay.
They played him back in May.
I made it up.
No.
It was a long time ago.
Well, hopefully that's not a prediction that's going to come true tonight, Ken, but we have seen some crazier things.
Oh, we have. And you're right. They're going to – if a guy gets on first base, almost all of them will be running against the Orioles.
But Ken, it's when you're going up against these teams who sold, and that's been another frustrating part where the Rays, you won the series, and you've done extremely well at the Trop this year, but losing that series to the Blue Jays and going just 7-6 against them on the season series. These are the games you got to win.
And stack them.
You got to stack them. We've yet to see them stack three consecutive wins since the All-Star break. And it's so important to get these because you got Boston coming to town and the Astros next week, Mets and the Dodgers. So you got a tough stretch upcoming, so you got to find a way to win these games.
Orioles and Nats, 6:30. Baltimore baseball tonight is coming up at 5:30. But coming up next, we get back to football. What does Bucky Brooks from NFL Network think of the Ravens as they enter this season? We're going to ask him next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.